chapter 11. You know this is true because Pastor James has mentioned it, and over the years you've heard more messages probably about faith, just faith messages, than you've heard anything else. Why? Because that's what Pastor James needs more than anything else, is faith. And the Lord gives me messages, and he gives me scripture so that I would have faith and trust him, and the same thing with God's people. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll start off with the familiar first part of the chapter and read verse through verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 11, 1 through 6. And if you will, please, out of respect of God's word, would you stand? And we invite you to read aloud with us, or you may follow silently in your copy of God's word. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse number 1. Ready? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, I want to be that person. I want to be the person that diligently seeks the Lord. Therefore, God gives me that which I'm seeking after. Enoch sought God the same way, and the Bible says he had this testimony. A testimony is what other people give credit to you about. In other words, if you have a testimony, that means you have shared that, and other people have said, you know what, when I think about Sister So-and-so, I think about this word. When I think about Brother So-and-so, that guy was faithful. That was that person's testimony. Enoch's testimony was that he pleased God. Now, how in the world see, in order to come to that conclusion, we'd have to make a judgment. Now, in case you're one of those kind of people who hang on to this phrase, well, you're not supposed to judge anybody. Oh, what a hypocrite people are. We judge everything. We do all that you did this morning when you decided what you wanted to wear. We do all the time what we want to do, who we want to hang around with. But that's not what that means. When Jesus says, when you judge, make a righteous judgment. Well, how can we make a righteous judgment? Based on the word of God. So Enoch knew what God said and followed what God told him to do. And therefore the people said, God must be happy with Enoch. He's doing everything God told him to do. So how are we to please God? It's hard to know how happy God is or not with us, unless we know what he said about other people who he was pleased with. And our Bible just told us that God's pleased with Enoch because he walked with him. So there are some things, there are some clues that God gives us in the word of God on how to please him. And I don't know about you, but I've been on this quest in my life to seek after those things. Now, that is a treacherous quest, because just when you get to a point where you think you have done something that pleases God, we mess up the next day. We falter and fail, and then we feel unworthy. Well, of course we're going to feel, he's holy and we're not. So he says, abide in me, and if my words abide in you, you shall do those things which please me. So I want to give you a little lesson today on aspects of God-pleasing faith. A few things about what God has given me on how that I, James Caskey, I'm supposed to pursue God. While he's pursuing me, I'm supposed to find out the things that please him and I'm supposed to be about my Father's business. May all of us today learn some aspects on how to please God. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we have a large task ahead of us. We have a mountain that we're going to try to climb, and I'm going to slip, and I'm going to need some help. Holy Spirit, would you help me? Holy Spirit, would you help all of us today to truly live for God is a daunting task. To truly be known, and may our testimony be somebody who tried to live for God, but may it go beyond that, and may somebody one day who sees us doing something for you that's right say, well, they sure tried to please God. So, Lord, as we look at these aspects, I pray that you melt them into our hearts and minds, and Holy Spirit of God, may you interpret the words, and may you preach to us and through us, through this preacher. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Every one of us come to the place in our lives where we ask important do or die questions to God. Now, most of us do that when we're young, but not all of us. Some people are raised without God being mentioned in their home except for a curse word, and they may not come to the realization of God, the Heavenly Father, who wants to hear them, and maybe they weren't taught those things, and so they've had to come later in life. But all of us, sooner or later, come to these questions. In other words, God, what is the purpose for my life? God, why did you place me here? God, what do you want from me? While considering the answer, most choose to look in one of three different areas. While considering the answers to why God put us here and what is my chief purpose in life, we usually travel down one of these three roads. And it brings us to a dilemma. Some people fall down and go through the traps of philosophy. They've heard somebody say something that sounds like it's pretty good, so they go down that road and they find out, nope, later in life they find out the road of philosophy did not get me where I needed to go. Some people go after intellectualism. And there are some folks who were lifetime students. They enjoyed school. It wasn't me. They had so much fun in school. It wasn't me. That they want to be in school the rest of their life. That's not me. I tell Eli the truth. I say, son, I understand when you don't want to go to school. I didn't want to go to school either. I would rather ride my bike all day. I would rather do anything. I would rather dig a ditch than to have gone to elementary school. That's who I was, okay? Now, the Lord worked a miracle in my life when he called me to go to Bible college. I promise you, that was miraculous. Because I had no plans of doing that. Why would I torture myself four more years? No way. I'm going to get out of high school by the skin of my teeth, and I'm going to get a job in a factory like my uncles and like my grandfather, and I'm going to retire early, and then I'll have fun in life. That was just where I was pretty much going. Nobody had gone to college in my family. Nobody. None of my aunts or my uncles or their children. So when God called me into the ministry, he was answering one of the questions. He was telling me, don't go down the road of philosophy. Don't go down the road of intellectualism. And I'm going to show you the way. So God led me down the road of theology. And that's the road he wants to lead all of you through. Now, some of you, and I know some in here that are much higher educated than myself or most of us, God has led you partly down that road so that you can serve him in this life. And God's helped you and equipped you, and I hope that you will use that degree and that knowledge and those experience to help you in life. For those who have studied some philosophy, there are some great philosophers over the years who've given us some great things to live by, but I would trust and hope that you would not continue down that road, because God wants those things that you've learned to lead you to him. And from that day on, may you be in the school of theology. Looking to God and Scripture, you come to the understanding of why God put you on this earth. The Bible says that God created man for his good pleasure. And that's the reason we're here. You're here today, whether you work in the medical field or whether you're retired or whether you work in the field of electronics or you're an educator or you're a homemaker. You exist for the purpose of giving God glory. I promise you, and if this helps you, let it be help. God didn't create you to work 50 hours a week and then do nothing with the rest of your life. That's not why he created you. He created you to give him pleasure, to glorify him. You are created for God's good pleasure. So how does man please God? Well, the answer is not too hard because we have it in our text here. It says faith pleases God. Okay, so how do I have faith? That would be the next question. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. How to have the faith that pleases God so that when I finish my life, when my 5 score and 10, it used to be 4 score and 10, but thank God for blood pressure medicine and blood thinners and doctors and all that, we hope, and I would pray that all of us would have in your mind and heart that by the time you finish this traveling on this earth, that you have lived your life to please God. Amen. Because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So pleasing God should be the aim, should be the goal, should be the purpose of our life, because that is God's purpose for your life. And when the purpose for your life is matched with your will and desire, that's when we start getting that, squeezing the joy out of the Christian life. When my desire matches his desire. And then it becomes fun. Believers have a relationship to God through Jesus Christ. We view our life purpose from God's perspective. Nothing pleases God more when we trust him. And when we trust him, we connect with Jesus, who is our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer. And when we connect to Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit who has brought the connection together. Somebody said faith is like Wi-Fi. It is invisible, but it has the power to get you connected. That's what the Holy Spirit is left here to do. Jesus said, I'm going to go away. And if I go away, I'll come again. But between where I am and you are now is the Holy Spirit, which will connect you. And that will get you to understanding your purpose in life. What pleases God pleases us. And what satisfies God needs to be what satisfies your soul. Believers focus on what God thinks more than what other people think. God-pleasing becomes your priority. Believers embrace the freedom we have to serve God out of love and not obligation only. So how, some ask, do Christians live like this? Well, the answer again is to live by faith. I told this, and this is not new. You'll hear it again, and I hope you laugh as much as you did the last time, or I hope you cry as much as you did you cried the last time. But a man was walking along a narrow path, not paying much attention to where he was going. Suddenly, he slipped over the edge of a cliff. As he fell, he grabbed a branch growing from the side of the cliff, realizing that he couldn't hang on for long. He called out for help. Help! Help! Is anybody up there? A voice came back and said, yes, I'm here. Who's that? The Lord. Lord, help me. Do you trust me? The man says, well, I trust you completely, Lord. Good. Let go of the branch. What? I said, let go of the branch. After a long pause, you heard the man say, is anybody else up there? Isn't that so apropos? We call out to God when we need help, and then God gives us an answer. And then when he gives it to us, we say, you know what? That doesn't sound fun. Doing it that way doesn't sound like it's going to work. Man, I got to find another answer. And we go back to philosophy, or we go back to man's ways, or we go back to a different way other than God's ways. And then as a dog returns to to his vomit, so a fool to his folly. God has created you a special being, a unique being. And he wants to get out of you all of this wonderful attribute of pleasing him. But if you're so enamored with doing everything but that, life will not be fun for you. Life will not be enjoyable. Ran across this little poem years ago. Three men were walking on a wall, feeling, faith, and fact. When feeling got an awful fall, then faith was taken back. So close was faith to feeling that he stumbled and fell too. But fact remained and pulled faith back, and faith brought feeling too. So the defining factor is faith. Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. And everybody stood around talking and said, how did Enoch get to go with God? How did he keep from getting cancer and having to die a slow death? How come he didn't get emphysema and have to go on oxygen? How come he got to have this wonderful translation with God? Oh, that's right. He pleased God. I wonder what God would do in my life if I started out just trying to please him. I wonder what God would do in this church if all of us today decided to put God first and please him above everybody else. I wonder what God would do in all of our lives if that was our aim and purpose. The psalmist wrote, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. In other words, they were forced to conclude that his ways were above their own. Let's put ourselves into the message today and let us get a few things about faith that'll help us, a few aspects. Verse 5 tells us about Enoch, and we're jealous of him a little bit, and especially those of you who are suffering in your health. If it had to be to where you had to continue suffering for another year or two or three, you might say, Lord, just take me to home today. I can't do this anymore. And you might pray that God would do for you what he did to Enoch. So we see that Enoch was a wonderful example of what the Christian ought to be in many, many ways. In verse number 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he shouldn't see death and was not found because God had translated him. So God did something in Enoch's life that he didn't do in everybody else's life. Well, what was it? Was Enoch did he lift more weights than everybody? No, of course not. Was he a better speaker than everybody else? No. Was he far more educated than the average person? Not that we know of. We only know one basic thing about Enoch, and that Enoch chose to spend time with God more than he spent time with anybody else. Did you get that? Enoch walked with God. Therefore, he was not any longer like he was. Isn't it a wonderful thing? If we could get how many would make an appointment with God if God said, I got 10 minutes available, who'd like an appointment with me? Would anybody sign up for that one? If you could sign up for that, what would you ask God? God, listen, I've got this question in my heart. I always need to know this, and it's a question that Job asked, but I didn't get the understanding from the book of Job. God, why do good people suffer? Was there anybody like that would ask God a question like that? I might ask him that. God, why? I see all this wickedness in the world, and it looks like all these wicked politicians and all these liars and cheats, they do good, and they have health, and they have all this money, and they have this power and this fame. Why? God, why do you allow that to happen? Somebody says, I lost a little baby through stillborn. Or I had a sister who lost her baby when it was young. Or I had a brother who lost their child when he was young. God, why would that happen to an innocent child? Maybe you would ask him something like that. And that'd be a question that you could ask God, because only God can explain that, right? God gives life. God takes away life. Blessed is the name of the Lord. But I wonder how many of us, if we had only 10 minutes to talk with God, would say, God, would you go on a walk with me? And God, while we're walking, would you tell me how to live more like Jesus? God, it's so hard. I try to do the right thing one day, and the next day, I realize I can't, and I fall down. I go to church for a couple months, and then I just can't go anymore. I start reading my Bible, and then I get to a part where it's boring, and I just can't do it. God, would you help me to get through this life walking with you? Enoch did that. When he was a young man, he made a decision to spend more time with God than he did on his Xbox. Okay, maybe they didn't have an Xbox. Okay, Atari, how's that? We bumped it back a couple generations, right? All I know is when other people were doing other things, Enoch said, I would rather spend time with God. I can't forsake my prayer time for play time. The Bible says he knew about the judgments of God and he walked with God anyways. You see, but Pastor, I didn't see that in there. Where did you find that in there? I didn't find that all right there. There's something about Enoch in the book of Jude. You don't have to turn to it, but if you'd like to, you may. In it only has one chapter. In Jude verse 14, the Bible says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. Now, that's a lot of ungodliness, isn't it? Did you get that? God had revealed to Enoch that he was going to come one day and judge the earth. And that thousands of people were going to die because their ungodly deeds and their ungodly thoughts and their ungodly ways were making them do everything except what God called them to do. They were living ungodly. They were living apart from God. God had created them to please him, but they didn't have time for him. They didn't have time when they were young. They didn't have time when they were teenagers. They didn't have time for God when they were young adults. God gave them children. They didn't praise God. God gave their children gifts and made them special and helped them to graduate from schools and to do great things. And though they enjoyed those kids, they didn't give God glory. They continued down the road of ungodliness. And Enoch said, well, you all folks can do that, but I'm going to church. You folks can go and spend your time eat, drinking, and be merry, but I'm going to pray. I don't know what the rest of you guys are doing, but God has told me there's a judgment day, and because there is a judgment day, I want to spend my life doing the things that please him. And the Bible says there came a time in his life when everybody who knew Enoch said, he's the man who pleases God. So, I say this to you, and this is the first point. Associations matter. Who you associate will determine whether or not you're pleasing more of them or pleasing God. My mom used to say, birds of a feather flock together. My mom used to say, son, be careful. If you hang around a skunk, you're going to come home smelling like it. God-pleasing faith limits my associations. Enoch had a testimony. His testimony was that he pleased God. How did he get that testimony? When everybody else was doing things that God said no. Enoch said, fellas, I know you guys plan on doing this. Sounds like a lot of fun, but I can't do it. I'm a God child, so I'll catch you on the backside. And he went over here and he did what God told him to do. Now, that shouldn't sound so unusual. We know that there are things that God wants us to do and there are things that Satan wants us to do. But the problem is when we get into the middle where there's what we might call a gray area, does God really want me to do this? Or God does he not? Well, we have the Word of God. And we know that things that please God are the things that do not please God. Here's where we get mixed up. When we do the things that make us happy. You see, that's the world's philosophy. The world tells you it's okay for you to live for yourself. Have it your way. Have it your way. Get a Whopper while you're there. Have it your way. Do your own thing. How about this one? Do what makes you happy. In that is the secret to health, wealth, and stupidity. You cannot be married and live for yourself alone. You cannot have happy kids and live for yourself alone. You cannot be known on your job as being a good worker and a good employee if you live only for yourself. Life is not built that way, although the world says, do what makes you happy. Because the world is saying, you can be your own God. And that's what the philosophers has sold, the wooden nickel. There is no greater authority than you yourself. But yes, there is, because there is a judgment day, and every man shall give an account of himself before God. So be careful who you hang around with. Be careful how much time you hang around those associations. Genesis 5 tells us that Enoch walked with God. He was known as a God follower. We sing that song, but yet we don't always mean it. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I'll go with him. All the way, unless it's time for me to do my own thing. Unless it's uncomfortable. Unless I got to do it by myself. Nobody likes doing it by themselves. Enoch was different. Enoch pleased God because he was willing to limit his associations. Faith is only as good as its object. A small boy in England was asked by a scientific team to be lowered down the side of a cliff to recover some important specimens. Though the scientists offered to pay him greatly, the boy said no. They tried to persuade him further, and finally he consented with this one condition. Here's the one condition: that it would be his father who would be the one holding the rope. Now that boy had some pretty good sense. He didn't trust those scientists. He trusted the one he was born unto. Wouldn't it be great if our greatest trust would be in God? It's okay to have friends and associates, but not to put our trust in them so much, but to trust God with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the... But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's a person who pleases God. When God is a better friend to him than his best friend. When God fulfills all the needs that he has instead of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Are you following me today? Enoch loved God, walked with God, cared about more about what God cared about than what his associates cared about. He limited his time with those associates. Enoch's mom told him what my mom told me. If you hang out with troublemakers, you end up being one. Enoch's dad must have told him, son, you are now or are soon becoming what your friends are. Choose your friends wisely. And Enoch loved his mama and his daddy, and he loved his God more than anything, and therefore he pleased him. So God-pleasing faith limits association. Number two. Hey, we're on number two, and it's not even 12 o'clock yet. Hang with me. We only have 8 points. Thank God you have a good sense of humor. Number two, God-pleasing faith is rewarded. Look at verse 6. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hey, how many of you would love for God to ring your doorbell and stand there with a beautiful package and say, I made this especially for you? It's got your name on it, and it's written in God's own handwriting. Don't know what that looks like, but probably looks something like the Bible. I don't know. But wouldn't it be amazing? Would you invite God in, by the way, or would you just take it and run? Hopefully you'd invite him in. I know he takes a little cream in his coffee, just a little bit of sugar. Nah, my wife would say he takes it black, dark magic. That's what she drinks, right? I don't know. I'm being facetious here, but at least I got you to wake up. Coffee does that, right? Oh, boy. Okay, I'm trying. Number two, God-pleasing faith is rewarded. God has a reward for those who diligently seek him. So, would you agree with me that God is pleased to give us rewards? And it pleases God when we diligently seek him, because when we diligently seek him, he rewards us for it. He's not going to be pleased. He's not going to give you a reward for something he's displeased in. I can imagine my mama coming to my room, and my room is a mess. My brother, of course, my brother, it was always his fault, right? We had to share a room, and if it was messy, it was always my brother's fault. If the house was messy, it was always my sister's fault. You didn't have an older sister. If you had an older sister, you'd understand that. Somebody go ahead and answer that. You got it. Good. Okay. All right. So if my mama came to my room is messed up. My mama was so sweet. She'd say, oh, honey, I know you made a mess of your room, and you didn't do what your mom or dad told you to do, but I'm going to take you out for ice cream anyways. Now, would that have happened in your house? Because it definitely would not have happened in my house. Because mama wouldn't be happy. Now, why wouldn't mama have been happy? Because we didn't listen, we didn't care, we didn't pay attention to anything she had said. She said, by the time dinner comes, I'm going to come to your room and I'm going to check it out. And I want to make sure there's no toys under the bed. I want to make sure that the blankets are on the bed and the pillows there. And I want the room cleaned up. That's my expectation for you. And we knew she was coming, and we disregarded all of it. Isn't that the way some Christians live? God-pleasing faith is rewarded. To please God is a reward in itself, but not only. God rewards those who live by faith. Faith brings blessing. So allow me quickly to make an evaluation. There are two basic ways to live for God. You can live in the flesh, or you can live in the spirit. Now, you can live in the flesh and still go to heaven. Now, the Bible says your rewards will be burned up and you'll have nothing to give to the Lord Jesus. And what a shame that would be. He gave all for you and we have nothing to give to him. Or you can choose to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the deeds of the flesh, and there will be laid up for you riches in glory. Not so that you'll be any wealthier there than anybody else, but so that you'll have something to give to Jesus. Do you want to give God glory as you live on this? So you want to store up treasure in heaven so that you can give it to Jesus? Is that what you want? It ought to be. The relationship that you have with Christ will determine that. All right, Romans chapter 8, and I don't have a lot of time left to finish this because I've still got 12 more points. So there's God's way and there's man's way. There's two different mindsets. Romans 8, verse 5 through 8 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things that are the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit." Capital S, God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, okay? So there's two ways to live. The people who mind the flesh. I don't feel good today. Yeah, I did a little stomach problem or my toe is sore, and so I'm not going to go to church, but you go to Walmart. I'm not going to go to church, but you go down to the park. I'm not going to go to church. You say, Pastor, do you have to go to church to please God? You have to go to church to obey God. I know some people don't believe that. Listen, that's why the church house isn't full. They don't know what Hebrews chapter 10 says. They don't know that 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament were written to the churches. So that's why in the last days there'll be a falling away, and it's not popular preaching for to preach about coming to church. It's popular preaching to make every other time available throughout the week so that people do not have to give up their Sunday for God. Come on. I'm telling you, be careful. This world's changing so fast. Before we know it, church is not even going to be a part of the world order. God-pleasing faith is rewarded. All right, two different ways to live. One is fleshly, and the other is spiritually. Verse 6 says, "To live according to the flesh is carnal-mindedness." The Bible says that brings death. Putting the flesh first. If I eat all the pie I want, I am not going to live as long as if I only eat in moderation. Yeah, because I like pie. If I eat all the cookies I want, that's fleshly-minded, that's carnal-minded. I love cookies, any shape, any size, almost any flavor. I never met a cookie I didn't like. I might as well be a cookie monster. But if I allowed myself to indulge more than what I should, I would pay a great price. Are you following me? what kind of price do I pay if I spend too much time with God? Is there a price to pay for loving God too much? But yet there's a great price to pay for loving the flesh too much. So God has an answer for me. In verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity, or being the enemy of God, for it is not subject unto the law of God, neither indeed can be. So God doesn't dwell in the flesh, God dwells in the spirit. So Paul said, I have this battle that every time I want to pray, maybe he's like me, I fall asleep. You ever do that? How many ever fall asleep praying? Come on, be honest. Come on. Okay, two of you. Paul said, every time I want to do good and give somebody something that God tells me to do, my flesh says, hey, you need that for yourself. Paul says, I struggle with that. He said, indeed, there is no law in the flesh, but there's a law about the spirits. In other words, if the Spirit of God tells me to do something and I don't do it, there's a heavier weight on what I do for God than what I would do for myself. Because it's easier. It's easier to do the things of the flesh than it is of the spirit. Verse 8, so they that are of the flesh cannot please God. Well, once I saw that, I said, okay, now we got to talk about it. If pleasing the flesh was just, hey, we're all human. Isn't that what people say? Hey, do what feels good because, hey, listen, you only live once. Come on now. Lighten up, preacher. Chill out, dude. Come on now. Let's have some fun. We only live for so many years and then we die. That's the philosophy of people who don't believe they're going to see God. The people who know they're going to see God want to see him today. They may not want to go to heaven today, but they want God to be involved in their life. They want to walk with God and talk with God, and they want to be like Enoch and have a testimony of pleasing God, because the Bible says, if I fulfill the deeds of the flesh, God is not pleased. Wow. The Spirit tells my mind what pleases God. My mind tells my body, and my body says, it's not as much fun. I'd rather stay up all night on Saturday night playing video games and then sleep all day on Sunday. God will understand. Spirit-mindedness puts God's first. The truth of the matter is, God wants you to be happy. When I was a teenager and I would hear sermons something like this, I would think, well, God just wants me to be miserable. God just doesn't want me to have a girlfriend, or God just doesn't want me to have any money, or God just doesn't want me to have any fun. And then I started watching the lives of the teenagers around me. And they were the teenagers who lived in Noah's day. And the imagination of their heart was evil continually. And then when God opened up the door and said, come on in, they said, nope, don't have time for that. And they walked away. And their life is spent, the rest of their life is spent picking up pieces, putting them back together from drug addiction and alcohol and immoral living. I promise you, there's more joy in living for God than there is in living for Satan. Faith is the way to do it. The only way to live godly in Christ Jesus is to walk in the Spirit. Number 3, faith seeks God. Verse 6 says, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God-pleasing faith seeks God. Enoch walked with God and was known to please God because he sought what pleased God, and he figured it out. And when he figured it out, he spent more time doing that than the world did doing what they do. Faith seeks God. The Bible says, search the scriptures daily, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of thee. Seek the Lord while he may be found, the Bible says. He delighteth in those that seek him early. Boy, I didn't like that so much when I was a teenager. I got to get up early to please God. No, you don't have to if you went to bed late. But I learned a long time ago that most of the successful people in this world get up a little bit earlier than the non-successful people. Well, in comparison, seeking God first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek him first. Those are the people that please him. Matthew 17:5, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to the mountain real quick. Jesus is going to be transfigured before them. James is going to be so enamored. Peter is going to be so enamored that they're going to get into an argument who's greater in the kingdom, and they're going to get all that. But wait a minute. They're going to want to build an altar there. They're going to want to stay there. They're going to want to never leave that spot because they saw Jesus in his glorified body. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's incredible. But what's more important than that, more incredible than that, was the voice they heard from heaven. That God said, "This is my beloved Son." They knew Jesus was special. They knew he was important. They knew he was like no other person. But when God from heaven, in God's voice, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," that put Jesus on a different level. But it wasn't just that. That made him sit up and pay attention, because what did he say after that? "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." He said, "Hear ye him." Listen to him. God's telling us to hear what Jesus says. Listen to what Jesus says. Get it. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know in John chapter 1, Jesus is the word. I'm just giving you some aspects on how to please God. Faith seeks God out. Number 4, God-pleasing faith demonstrates a healthy fear of God. In verse number 7, Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear and built the ark. When you hear what God wants you to do, what do you do with that? Hopefully you move. Hopefully you move with a respect. Hey, I heard the pastor preach, and he showed us in the Bible how that faith pleases God. Hey, what else can I do in my life to serve God out of faith? Not out of reward. Not when it's easy, but something that that takes faith. Substance of faith. What is it that I don't know is going to happen, but I'm going to go forward anyways, trusting God? What is it that God wants me to do? Whatever it is, it's going to demonstrate a healthy fear of God, a healthy love and respect for him. God-fearing faith causes us to rely and to revere him. Psalm 147:11, the Bible says, "The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him." And that word fear is not the, "Oh no, I'm trembling in my boots because God's going to do this." That word fear means respect. And then he finishes the statement, David does. "The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy." In other words, God could do this to me, but he's merciful. Therefore, I love, respect, and want to do what he tells me to do. Do we respect other people more than God? Do we respect other people's opinions more than God? Some of us do. And in so doing, we won't have the testimony that we need at the time we die. Number 5, lastly, God-pleasing faith obeys God. There it is. Noah moved with fear and prepared an ark. "Noah, I want you to build an ark." What's that? It's a big ship. It's a big boat. What's a boat? Well, it floats in the water. Why does it need to float in water? Because I'm going to rain floods down on the earth, and the water is going to come up over the highest mountain, and if you're not in the ark, you're going to die. Oh, well, I better get some instruction. How do you want me to build this ark, God? And he took his feather pen there, and he says, "Okay, what do I do first?" And God told him to get some gopher wood. And he says, "Well, that's all the way on the other side of the land. Go over there. That's the kind of wood you need." Okay, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, here we go. Come on, get your saws and get your power drinks, and let's go. And there he and his three sons went and cut down the trees, the length that God told them to cut them down, and as much wood as they needed, 510 feet of arc, 85 feet of width, 55 feet high. Woo! That's a lot of gopher wood. He had to get the instructions. There was no example. There was no schematic for him. There was no blueprint. But because he loved God, he respected God. Because he respected God, he obeyed God. And he did what God told him to do. Listen, if you want to please God, you cannot walk away from his commandments. If you want God to be pleased with you, you can't just give him a cold shoulder. If you want God to help you and bless you and walk with you, you can't spit in his face. God-pleasing faith obeys him. God said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Okay, worship him. That's what we do. That's who we are. We're worshipers. So worship him. When you come into this, put everything else out of your mind and you say, well, I don't like all the music. Well, find something you like and worship him. I don't like the way Debbie does it. Well, you do it better then. I'll take a volunteer. She'll probably let you come up here and do it. Well, I don't like this. Stop not liking something and fall in love with Jesus. That's all it takes to worship him. I can worship God when I don't necessarily like the music. I can worship God when I don't necessarily like the person leading it, because it's not about them. It's about him. And he told me, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hebrews 13 says, By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, he said, the fruit of our lips, giving thanksgiving unto him, unto his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. Don't forget about doing it. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Did you get that? So God's pleased when you worship. All right? So get your worship on, church. God's pleased when you worship him. Verse 21 of the same chapter says, now the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Do you want to please him, church? Is that who you are? Is that what you want to do? Psalm 16, verse 11, David wrote, thou shalt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, Lord, teach us to serve you that we might have the joy of the Lord. All right. So let's wrap it up. Number one, the Bible says if you want to please God, walk with God. Walk with God. Limit who you hang out with and how much time people require from you. Hey, stop trying to please people and please God. Number two, seek God's reward. Stop trying to get people's approval of your life. Does it really matter if they approve of you? I thought it matters if God approves of you. Isn't that the most important thing? Number three, listen to God's word. Boy, you need to get it. One service is not enough. You need to get it. Get it on MP3 player. Turn on the website. Get it on. But find a way to get the word of God into you. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. Number four, respect and fear God over anything and anybody. And then I know it sounds trite, but just do what he tells you to do. Sometimes the kids are fussing. I said, listen, just do what your mama tells you to do. Yeah, but this and that, but that doesn't matter. I'm telling you, you want to be happy with, you want mama to be pleased with you? Just do what mama says. Now, is that trite or is that just plain sensical? Do what God says. So church, it's not that hard. I know we look for sensational things. That's the humanity part of us. But God comes in simple, still, small voices. And he says, I love you. And if you weren't anything different than you are right now, I will always love you. But I'm not always pleased with what all my children do. So for those of you who want special blessings in your life, change your ways. Learn what pleases me. Start doing those things. And I promise you, that joy is going to be made full in your life. That's the message. May God help us to please him. Would you bow your heads, please? Now, Father,